Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Pneumatikov. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled, In Jesus, There is Rest from the Spiritual Pain that Has Controlled One's Life. Or let me add, that is controlling one's life. As always, we go to the documents of the Old Testament and the New Testament, wherein God has provided wonderfully for us the wisdom that we need in order to address in life that God has given us, in order, that is, in order to address our specific situations and the problems of living, as it is called today. God has provided in a wonderful way for us to not only meet the problems of living, but also to address them in an appropriate manner so that we can have lives that are indeed highly successful and highly meaningful. We know today that people have been closed in. People have been encapsulated, as it were, into a matchbox size consciousness. We live in a time in which, even though there has been an explosion of technological advances, yet for humanity at large, there has been this trivialization of consciousness. In other words, a denial of the humanity of persons. People are given the false anesthetic of violence in order to distract them from their true situation. Violence and gore and trivial stories about so-called celebrities and persons are given or fed all types of heinous pseudo-erotic images in which persons are engaged in behavior that will excite certain chemicals in the brain, and certain behaviors that create pathology within the heart and also within the brain. So persons are fed these things, which do not and cannot satisfy the deepest needs of the heart. There are those whose lives have been shattered, whose hearts have been shattered. And of course, you know that by heart, I mean the soul. In the Greek New Testament, the word is cardia, A-A-R-D-I-A, cardia, which involves one's conscience, one's intelligence, one's will, and the emotions. In the Old Testament, the word is nephesh. And so, in the biblical doctrines, there is not, or the primary emphasis, I should say, is not on the what is called the executive function. The Bible does use the term mind in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. But the main concern is with both in the Old and New Testament, the persons as a whole. In other words, there's a holistic view of persons. In the Old Testament, persons are not body and soul. And even in the Greek New Testament, persons are not body and soul. There's a unitary view of the individual, of the person. There's not, within the biblical documents, the Western emphasis upon the cognitive part. And notice the language, the cognitive part or aspect of persons, with the trivialization of those other parts. Notice the language. See, in the West, there's always the compartmentalization of attributes, but that word is not used, that is the word attribute. In the biblical doctrines, there's an understanding of the unitary nature of person. There's a unit, there's an interplay, and human beings are not compartmentalized, as it were. So, individuals face what or must go through what is sometimes called necessary pain. Necessary pain engenders growth in life. It engenders maturity. It enables a person to gain awareness or understanding so that he or she will know how to make appropriate decisions. Life. Then, along this journey, one may encounter persons who injure the soul. The Bible uses the term you sinned against, or someone sins against an individual in a way that shatters the heart and sends the individual spiraling. Of control of his or her appropriate path. I've seen this in persons who were victimized in early childhood. I also witnessed this in persons who were interred in, or who had been interred in concentration camps. I did some work with an ex-rabbi who specialized in ministering to persons who had been in prison camps and who had gone through some very difficult times in World War II. And I was able to see up close the power of the Word of God to transform, because of what these persons have seen going on in their own lives, in their own families, what they had witnessed up close. had been a part of their lives was certainly terrible. But then I was able to see how this ex-rabbi had ministered with great compassion, great insight to these persons. I was also able to see up close and personal the reality of clinical theology when I lived in the South. I did not know at that time the term clinical theology, but I saw clinical theology at work in the lives of individuals who had been abused and who had lived under a very abusive system of racism and marginalization and apartness, and who had experienced the brutal reality of what their physical hue, what the color of their skin meant to others. And I saw grace ministered in their hearts, in their lives, through the power of the Holy Spirit. There were other persons who had gone through war and had seen atrocity and had been a part of atrocity that sowed ruin in their hearts. And I have seen up close what the power of the Holy Spirit can do for persons who had this in their backgrounds, for veterans, who have been a part a very violent interaction. So, I want to read to you from Isaiah chapter 9, beginning at verse 6, which reads, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Of course, it is a prophetic reference to Yeshua HaMashiach, that is, Jesus the Messiah. And notice in verse 9 the word wonderful. In Hebrew, it is a masculine noun, which means a marvel or someone to marvel at, someone extraordinary in every way. Pele is the word in Hebrew, wonderful. And then we have the word counselor, ya'atz. Ya'atz word is a verb. And I know that in the English Bible it looks like a noun, but it is a verb. Wonderful, of course, the masculine noun, as I said a moment ago. But counselor in Hebrew is a verb, ya'atz, which means to advise, to give counsel. And then we have mighty or Gabor, mighty El, mighty God. And in ancient Hebrew pictograms, the symbol for El as a mighty one is the head of a bull or an ox, which means the strong one of authority, the strong one of authority. He's also called Everlasting Father. Now, this is an interesting term in the Hebrew. It is ad, and it means of future time. The ancient Hebrews had no word for eternity. But we're reducing the word eternity used in our transliterations of the Old Testament. That word has been imposed upon the text by the translator or translators. So God dealt with it in time. This is why in the book of Ecclesiastes you have the time cycle given. The Hebrews referred to time, their reference to time had to do with cycles. They were an agrarian people. They were farmers. And so they related to time from the events that occurred during the cycle, as it were, the cycles of life. They did not have a word for nature as such, because Yahwism and their faith did not have such a word. In the New Testament, there's also no such word as nature or Mother Nature or an entity or an abstraction independent of God. Now, Paul does use the term physis in his letter to the Ephesians to refer to the nature. And he writes, who are by nature children of wrath, or by nature children of wrath. Now, we're nature, of course, it's with physis. But I want to focus upon character of this one whose name is wonderful. He is our counselor. And then we turn to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11:1 reads, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch, Netzer, will bear fruit. This is a reference to Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of Chachma and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of power. The Spirit of knowledge. Da'at, Yahweh. Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Notice, he will not judge by what he sees with his eye. There will be no prejudice in his soul. He will not be susceptible either to conscious or unconscious confirmation bias. That will not be in his soul, or decide by what he hears with his ears. See, the Spirit of God knows that people like to carefully edit in their favor, or to attempt to manipulate with language, or through body language and verbal language. You attempt to manipulate in their favor, or to hide something more insidious and devious. So he will not decide on what he hears with his ears, but notice the instrument, notice the sedak or sedaka, but with righteous sedaka, he will judge the needy. Those who are themselves. Those who are bowed down by misfortune. With justice, he will give decisions to the poor of the earth. Now, with this one in verse 4, but with righteousness, he would be inwardly bowed down, that is, he would so there. He will be free of all conceit. There is no comfort today that can say he or she is free of all conceit. This one, but with righteousness. And so this is the way he will deal with his needs. This is his approach. This is his algorithm. This is his recipe as counselor. But with righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth, those bowed down by misfortune. In chapter 50 of Isaiah, we read, verse 4, chapter 50, verse 4 of Isaiah, the servant of the Lord has given me an instructed tongue, or literally the tongue of the taught one, to know the word that sustains the weary, that is, those who are exhausted or those who are exhausted or fatigued. Those who are exhausted with suffering and self. So the wonderful masculine noun, counselor, verb, knows or who leads by the word of God, he has wisdom, Isaiah 11, chokmah, that is the power of discerning the nature of things, one who can pierce through the veil of appearance, that is what is presented. He has understanding. Tanah, power of discerning the differences of things in their appearance. He has counsel, etzah. He has the gift of forming right conclusions. He has might. Again, it is Geburah, from Gabor, mighty one. He has the ability to carry things out with energy. So, for those who are weary, who are hurting, for those who feel that no one can understand the depths of the shame, who cannot imagine the fear, the hurt, the heartache, for those who have been betrayed by a mother, by father, by siblings, for those who have been wounded by a relative to sexual abuse, for those who have seen the radical obscenities of war, those who have suffered under prejudice, for those who have been abandoned, for those who have given up their children through abortion, and who cannot find peace, and who every year says within her heart, my child would have been this age had I kept him. For those who are keeping these type of secrets, those who have had affairs and who walk in fear, and who live in regret. These things torture the soul. These things create monumental abuse and abuses within the heart. For those who have been engaged in behavior that destroys others. And who cannot get away from the guilt of some hidden sin or some behavior that is going on now. We know and we read that in the Old Testament, there is one, as we read in Isaiah, who is the wonderful counselor, who is there to help. Matthew 11:28 reads, "Come unto me, Dute." It is a command stated in the imperative. "Come unto me," said Jesus, "all you that labor," that is, again, tired or exhausted by grief, "and are heavy laden, weighed down by anxiety, depression, who find that their hearts are indeed rent, or that their hearts are broken." Jesus said in Matthew 4 that he has come to heal the shattered heart. He writes here, Matthew writes, that Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will rest you." Not "I will give you rest," but "I will rest you." "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." I don't have time to go into the Greek at this point, but an apostle in the Greek is the word for rest, and it means to cease or desist. It will make stop the chronic pain, the chronic spiritual suffering that an individual is going through. He will make it cease. He is the healer. He is the restorer. High priest. In Hebrews chapter 5, let me move there quickly. We read, it's in Hebrews 4:15, "But we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Please read these verses. Please meditate upon them carefully. Please share these verses, these scriptures, with someone you know who is in great need or who is in great pain. They are from the Word of God. He is the comforter, that is from the Latin comfortus. He is the strong one who is there for us. He comes alongside as the parakletos in order to help those, Dr. Josiah Rich, have a blessing.